Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You're my strength. You're my redeemer. In you I live and move and have my being. You're the breath that I breathe, the heartbeat of my life. You're God, the Father, my Father, Abba, my Daddy. I'm so glad you're my daddy. Closer than the breath we breathe. I'm so glad you're here on this, it is Saturday? I guess it is. I want to read you something from Revelation. I want to talk to you about the king being in residence. In residence. The king is in residence, living in you. That's where he is. Oh, he's in heaven. Yes. But he's in you. And in him you live and move. And have your very being what you are. That means you're somebody as a nobody. For only nobodies become somebodies. You don't exalt you, you exalt him. Oh, I tell you something. It is a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Be saved. Let me read you something from Revelation 1, 4 through 6. Thank you. John, to the seven assemblies, churches, that are in Asia, may grace, God's unmerited favor, be granted to you. And spiritual peace, the peace of Christ's kingdom, from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits, the sevenfold Holy Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead. By the way, you have a number somewhere. Because you've been born from the dead. It may be 2,321,712. I don't know what it is. I don't know what mine is, but you have a number. You have a number. Written by your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Boy, you're somebody. You are somebody. Don't you ever let the devil put you down. You're God's child. You're God's man. You belong to him, bought by his blood. You're his. Life, death, whatever, you're his. In him you live and move and have your very being. In him. In him. You're in him. And he's in you. Can't hardly get, that's like fire in the poker and poker in the fire. You can't tell where one starts and the other stops. That's who you are. Men of God. Men of God. Men of God. Then he said he formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power and the ministry and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Oh, I wish I could convey to you who you are. Most time we are preached at that who we ought to be. And that's good. That's all right. But today I'd just like to talk to you about who you are. He said in verse 10 here, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It would be wonderful if every man that walked into this room on Sunday would be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Because you would radiate not so much who you are, but who He is. And people would go out and say, you know, I sensed a presence I've never sensed before. You may not have been aware of it, no one else, but there are we. I was in the Spirit. Am I in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Am I filled with Him? Am I to be used of Him? Whether it's to preach or sit in the pew or pray or what, it doesn't make any difference as long as I fit what He wants me to be this day in this place. It's always now, gentlemen. You have now, one heartbeat, now. Yesterday's gone. This morning's gone. Nothing you can do about it. It's over. It's through. This minute is passing. What you do with it make a great deal of difference. If you're in the Spirit, then you're going to hear what He has to say to us. Now, I want to hear it too, because I think He's got something to say to me. Now, don't listen to me. Don't listen. Hear Him. There's a difference. You can listen to me or you can hear Him. I want you to hear Him. I want you to hear what He says, using my lips perhaps. John the Baptist, I am just a voice crying in the wilderness. Lord Jesus is a faithful witness. He's a witness. It's His message. It's His book. It's His life. And if you are saved, you and I have a number. Jesus being the firstborn, then we're born somewhere down the line. But you were born into the kingdom of God just as He was born into this life. It is a new birth. It's not joining the church or going through a ritual of being baptized or sprinkled or something else. No. It's Christ coming into my heart and coming into yours. And beside that, Jesus is the ruler of all my earth days. I learned about earth days not long ago. When I turned 100 years of age, and I said, Lord, this is new. He says, yes, every day is new. Every day is new. I give you a new day to be what I want you to be. And He washed us from His sin, from our sins in His own blood. We're clean. When blood washes you clean, you're clean. If you've been forgiven of your sins, you're clean. God sees you forgiven, sees you clean. He doesn't see you dirty and filthy and messed up. You may be in some kind of a trial. You may be in some kind of a sin life you'd like to get out. But He sees you as you really are in Him. Complete. That's who you are. That's who you are. Jesus has made us kings and priests. That's who you are. Hello, kings. Hello, priests. God sees you as a king and a priest. Hey, baby, I've got to do something. Come up to this. If He sees me as a king ruling in this life and a priest carrying out His commands, saying what He once said, when He once said, how He once said, to whom He once said, you're a priest. That's who you are. And He's made you a singer. You say, I'm not a singer. Well, that's what he said in Revelation 5. And they sing a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. He did that. Honored just to talk to you. And you shall reign on the earth. Oh, that's the last of that passage. Reign on the earth? Yeah. When? Now. Kings reign now. Priests have the attention of God and doing what God wills now. If you went out of here knowing who you really were and carrying out exactly what God wants you to do, you'd shake this countryside like it's never been shaken before. You talk about revival. My. And he says that we're to reign as kings and priests now. No matter what you see or hear in this world system, actually it's a Babylonian system. It's not a world system. It's a kingdom system. You're not a part of it. You work in it. You slave in it. You pray in it. You live in it. But you're not dependent on it. You're not, now get this, buddy. You're not dependent on the world system for your living. You're dependent on Him. I don't give a flip what the world system does in your job. God can take you and move you like He wants to move you in your job. He can do it, and He will do it. And you don't have to stay where you are. You can rule. You can really rule. You're dependent on Him. Because He said, My God shall soon will supply all your need. If God's going to supply all my need, then it's not what I'm going to do for a living. He may use that. Of course He will. My talent and so forth and so forth and so forth, which is given me. But, God will take you and use you like you've never been used before. It says in whom we live and move and have our being. If you're moving in Him and He's moving in you, your job can't control you. Your job can't hold you back. He said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what God's trying to do is to renew your mind. You're saved, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, but let your mind get changed here just a little bit today, will you? He says, renew your mind that you may prove to all who might know you what is that which is good and the perfect will of God. When a person sees you, they ought to say something about that guy. He's different. It's different. You see, you're kingdom citizens before you're an American citizen. It's fine to be a citizen of this wonderful nation in which we live. I love it. But if you've been born again, you've been born into a kingdom, and you've been made a priest, and you've been made a king by the decree of God. You're somebody. Because he is our king, he's made us kings. We're going to be protected and prosperous in every area. Let me tell you something. A crestfallen, sad-faced saint is no inspiration for salvation to a lost soul. A depressed church member is one of the worst testimonies you can possibly give. When you could be poor, you could even be suffering. Some people suffer. But there can be an aura about you, a presence or spirit that screams, I have victory! I am victorious. You don't have any money? I am a king. You don't have any property? I am a ruler. You're nuts. I'm joyous in it. You're not happy, so who's nuts? We just got to know, gentlemen, who we are. You got to know who you are. The world wants what you have so that they can look like you. And there's only one way to get it. Who ever met a joyous person? I met this old lady one of the stores. She didn't have much. She had just a little old basket, and she had a few things, and she was counting her money. The Lord said, what you got in your pocket? I said, $20. He said, pay her a bill, but don't let her know it. How do you do that? And she funneled around. I took the $20, and winked at the lady, gave her the $20. I think I got 17 cents back. She said, lady, what's the matter? She said, well, I'm trying to find the money. She said, it's been paid for. Oh, she said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She didn't even know who, but he did. Let me tell you something. Your living is with him. It's vertical first. Let me make a difference. What happens out here is first. Do you really know who you are? Do you really know who you are? In Genesis 29:17, Rachel, that's Abraham's half-sister wife, was beautiful and well-favored. Genesis 39:6 says, and Joseph was a goodly person. And well-favored. I mean, they're handsome and beautiful. And to Mary, the angel said, as recorded in Luke 1:38, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Why? The Savior of all mankind, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, was in her womb. And nobody knew it. And Christ can be in your heart, King of kings and Lord of lords. And nobody ever suspected. But they know there's something different about you. And it leaves a little jar, the door open, a little open for a testimony to get in about Jesus Christ. Just by your demeanor. Just by the way you walk and talk. Where is the Savior of all mankind? The King of kings, the Lord of lords, Jesus Christ. In the womb of your spirit. For your spirit is a womb. Take away the physical male and female. Think on it. Think on it. in our spirits, in our hearts. The King is in residence. If that's true, hail, highly favored saint of God, to every one of you. I look out here and I see faces. I see men, different ages, looking at me in different ways. But I see more than that. I see human beings brought here by the Lord Himself, seated together in a heavenly place, because we're seated in His heavenly place. And you're a highly favored saint of God. Just think who you are. Everything in the world comes to tell you who you're not as far as God's concerned. Think about who you are with me today, please. The earth, the universe, the air, the riches of the earth, and all things that are good, the beauty, the everything belongs to the Father, Abba. And the word Abba means daddy. I wake up usually about 3 o'clock every morning, pray. Good morning, Daddy. Nothing like it. He's your daddy. You've been born again. He's your father, but he's your daddy. My daughter's name is Judy. She ran in one day and jumped up on my lap, hugged me and said, I love you, Daddy. I said, what do you want? And it was bad. She started crying. She said, I didn't want anything. I just wanted to tell you I love you. I said, what would you really want? She said, ice cream cone. We got right in the car, drove down, and I got her a great big old ice cream cone. That love has never stopped either. The earth, the universe, the air, the riches of the earth, all things belong to my daddy. To my daddy. And I'm his child. And I'm in his kingdom. And I'm a future ruler king. So are you. You're going to rule one of these days. I don't know all about that. That's pretty serious study. I've been studying it a long time. But someday you are going to rule. I don't know what, how much, and where, but you are going to rule. You better learn how he does it so you can do it like he does it. All you kingdom citizens need to know and understand. You have a kingdom right. You have kingdom rules, kingdom privileges. Our language, the way we speak, and the way we speak it has to live up to his word that he speaks and how he speaks them. Have you ever thought that when you talk to your wife or to somebody, that the tone that you use has as much meaning as what you say? It sure does. No longer can we allow our mouths to speak as the world speaks. Our enemy, Satan, knows we get what we say. God said you get what you say. We refuse that truth and you speak things that hurt you. Listen to Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that is my spirit, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Why his sight? Whoa, wait a minute. Wait. That everything I do and say be acceptable in your sight? Have you ever thought of that? Why didn't he say his ears? Everything I say be acceptable in your ear, but in your sight? Yeah, because you're a living testimony. You're writing a letter, if you will. If the Lord took us at our word, well, we'd be in big trouble. I'm just dying to see that. Oh, no, no, no. You don't really mean that, do you? No, 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 no. I just wish. Boy, I tell you what. When I found that out, it came to me somehow. I thought, good gracious, what am I doing? The Lord said, you're creating your own life. You are creating by your speech what you're living in. You're actually building your own world. And I said, that doesn't work. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want what God wants. I want what you want, Lord. You know, it's an amazing thing I studied with Christianity. You know, Christianity was born in Palestine as a fellowship. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. Moved on to Italy and became an institution. It then moved to Europe and became a culture. And then it came to America and became a business. Is not Christianity a business? Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Each one. Recently, the Lord has had me go to different churches, Catholic, Episcopal, Sunday morning, and get right in front, right down where they are. And I'm going to tell you, some of those guys can preach, baby. I mean, tear your hide off. Whoo! And I thought, I'm not the only preacher in this game. God said, no, I got them everywhere. I have my voices everywhere. Are you a voice? You see, the church is supposed to be a body, the Lord's body, the Lord's bride. And when a body becomes a business, it becomes a prostitute. A church cannot be a business. You can't be a business. You've got to be a personality. You've got to be. The church is his body. You guys are his body. And you personally are a part of his body. And the church doesn't belong to itself. Its members, its officers are to the world. The church belongs to the one who died on a cross for it and made it his body. You are a part of the body. I suppose I might be the underskin of the big toe or something like that. That's about how I feel most of the time. But you are a voice. You are a voice. You are a voice. In the Western mind, the word wisdom is collected information. We hear it, get knowledge, and that will bring understanding, which will make you wise. But the Bible says the exact opposite. Listen, Proverbs 4:17. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, which is comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. That's wisdom. If you'd rather know what he is doing than what somebody else is doing. Colossians 2:23. Knowledge we have of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All of them. You want to be wise? Talk to God. You want to know? Talk to God. You want to do better? Talk to God. Get on a personal basis with your daddy. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, and let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Wow! Just ask him, Lord, I want some wisdom. I want you to be my wisdom, and I want you to work in me as wisdom. I want you to physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, the whole 5 yards, I want you to be my wisdom. Watch what happens in the days ahead. If you really do that, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, you are of Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Get this, people, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Not knowledge, understanding, which makes you wise. That's opposite. Ask him to be your wisdom, and when he does, you'll understand what's going on. Then you'll know what to do. Wisdom, understanding. Did you get that, guys? Get it. Ask him to be your wisdom. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do about this situation. Go to him and say, would you be my wisdom, Lord? Go ahead, do it. And all at once, things will brighten up, and you will know what to do, when to do, where to do, how to do. It works. Believe me, it works. It sure does. Exodus 15:2 says, he is my Father God, I will exalt him. That's number one. Isaiah 9:6, a child is born to us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who he is, and he's in you. And you're not taking advantage of it? Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. He loves you. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you. He's God. Whether anybody likes it or not, he is God. Whether the heathen accept it or not, he's still God. God is still God. God is God. And he's your father. He's your daddy. He's your wisdom. He's your knowledge. He's your understanding. He's everything. And he's in you, in Christ Jesus. Whoa, boy. Don't stay where you are. Don't do it. I hope you're getting this. But he's also daddy. I like that. He's father to those who've been born again. He's daddy to those who worship him. Abba is a worship word. Mark 14:36, an intimate word, it says, and he, Jesus, said, Abba, personal. Daddy, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. You remember he prayed that in the garden in an agony. And he prayed it for you and me. And Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba! You were saved by grace, and you've been adopted, which means you cannot be disinherited. Man, that makes me happy. Praise God. I can't get lost since I've been found. I can stumble and fall and make a lot of mistakes, but I can't get lost. Listen, an adopted child cannot be disinherited. When you receive Christ, your standing before God is gloriously changed from grim condemnation to privileged sonship. You're now an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Wow! That's who you are, John. Come on, guys. That's who you are. You say, boy, I can't hardly get that. I don't care if you get it. Got it. You got it. You ought to use it. Guy walked up to you and said, hey, is your name, called you by name? Yeah. There's been $250,000 placed in the bank in your name. Here's the receipt. Walks off. What would you do? You say, wait. And he's gone. What would you do? The first thing you do is go over to the bank and check it out. I would, because anybody can do study nutty stuff. But when God says you're an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ, here's what you got. You got your Father's name. This is yours. I mean, it's yours, baby. You got your Father's love. You got your Father's discipline to guide you, direct you, keep you out of messes, get you out of messes. You have new brothers, new sisters, a new life. And because you're sons, Galatians 4:6 says, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Daddy, Father. And some, I was preaching this one time, and I brought out this point. Psalm 68:5 says, He's a father of the fatherless. Psalm 68:4-5, sing to God, sing praise to His name, Yah, J-A-H, Yah, and rejoice for Him, before Him, a father of the fatherless, a defender of wisdoms, and God in His holy habitation, which is you. I was preaching that in a pretty good-sized church, I guess maybe 10,000 people, and an old boy way back, he didn't say anything. He knew better than that. He'd get thrown out. But he stood up and just waved his hand. I said, you got it. I got it. Later on, I found out he didn't have a father. Never had known a father. But all the ones that dawned on him now, I got a daddy. I got someone I can talk to. Somebody I can go to. Somebody I can... Oh, my. His son honors his father, and with him I am the father. Where is my honor? Genosko. Epigenosko. I know. Three Greek words. Don't expect to know them. Genosko is to know. Epigenosko is to know more, no further, no higher. But the last one, Ida. Omicron, Iota, Delta, Alpha, or Epsilon, Iota, Delta, Omega. Intimate word. Yada. Final, expressive, done. And the thing goes back, and I can share it with you guys. Adam knew Yada, his wife, and she conceived. They had intercourse. It was that intimate. And a child was born. Your spiritual walk with God can be so intimate. You don't have to meet any rules. Just love him. I'll guarantee you, son, your life will change. Yours will change. Overnight. Spiritual intimacy. Spiritual intercourse. The church is the bride. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Why shouldn't there be spiritual intercourse? Worship. And when it is in the true church, the bride of Christ, children are born into the kingdom. Souls are saved. Enoch walked with the Lord, and God took him. Jacob wrestled with an angel, and the angel said, "Turn me loose." And he said, "I'm not going to turn you loose. Now you bless me." Boy, you talk about a human telling an angel who killed 184,000 people, one on one smite, say, "Turn me loose." He said, "I'm not going to turn you loose. So you bless me." Talk about guts. Whoo! By the way, that same angel killed 186,000 people one night. And tell one man tells me, "Turn me," when he says, "Turn me loose," and I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. I mean business. So what did he say? He asked him a question. "I'm not going to turn you loose." He said, "What's your name?" "Jacob." Jacob means liar, supplanter, thief, cheat. I am Jacob. Well, he said, "I'm going to rename you to Israel," which means power with God and with man. And when you got saved, your name was changed. So you have power with God and with man. Never have power with man until you get power with God. Eido, to know. Greek word. Yada, to know. Hebrew word. Do you know him? He's your spiritual daddy. Have I talked long enough? Huh? Have I talked long enough? Well, it's 6 o'clock. Don't you think I want to shut up? Well, I think I will. Your creator is your recreator. He recreates. Day and day, he's God Almighty. He is all and in all of you. He dealt with Adam and Eve. And he dealt with the sinful world. He dealt with Abraham and Lot and Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Joseph and Moses and Aaron. He dealt with the pharaohs of Egypt. He brought plagues of blood, and frogs, and lice, flies, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, death. Your Heavenly Father instituted the Passover and delivered 3 million people with no one sick, no one hungry, no one dying. Don't tell me he can't deliver you out of whatever thing you're in. And can he feed you? He revealed his glory to Moses and Aaron and the elders of the Heavenly Father, gave orders in detail to the building of the tabernacle, sanctified Aaron and caused the rod in his hand to blossom. He sent fiery serpents and healed the masses by them. By looking on a bronze serpent on a pole. Don't you think he can heal you, guide you, direct you, take care of you, watch over you, tell you what to do? Why don't you ask him? In any situation, seek his face. He dealt with Balaam and Barak and Joshua and Gideon and Jephthah and Samson, and Naomi and Ruth and Hannah and Eli and Samuel, Saul, David and Solomon. Is he not dealing with you? He is. If you'll let him deal with you, he dealt with Job and his friends, with Isaiah and Jeremiah and David, And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar, and Jonah, and a host of... He's dealing with you, Bubby, right now, in this house. Exodus 15 says, the Lord is my strength and song. He's become my salvation. He's my God, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. All power is given to him in heaven and earth. He's in you. What gives you? Anything he says, you have the power to do it. Because... Just, he's justifying, he's jealous over you, compassionate. He is light and perfect and true and incorruptible and all wise. There's none like him, there's none before him, there's none after him. He fills the heavens and the earth, he fills this room. In him you breathe, the very oxygen you're breathing is God. Do you know him? Or do you just know about him? You can know him. Oh, you can know him. You can know him intimately. I've been having quite a time recently. 3 o'clock in the morning, I usually wake up and the Lord. There's a big, big tree in my mind. It's a great big tree, and it's got a bench built around the tree with a back on it, a big old tree. And he sits over on the end and looks out over the world. And I said, on this end, I can see the sight of him. You don't hear a word. Not a word do I hear. And yet, all kinds of talk comes from him. I hear in my spirit without a spoken word. When you hear him in your spirit, without a word spoken, without a preacher, without anybody, you hear him. It is a spirit hearing, not physical. Forget that. And that sweet voice says to you when you say, Daddy, I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. So what do you need? My God shall supply all your needs. You know, I told you that. What do you need? What do you need tonight? What do you need right now? What do you need? What do you need? My God shall supply all your need. He says, what do you need? What do you really need? Not what you want. What do you need? My God shall give it to you. Which drives you to search his face and find out what it is that you really need. And when you find out, hear me now, when you find out what you really need and you ask him for that, you get a host of other stuff too. He's your daddy. Go sit on his knee and talk to him. Okay? Amen.